not as many devotees come for Lord Varaha's appearance day, because some devotees think the pastimes are rather boring. But actually, anything about Krishna is never boring. Although, I don't remember when I joined the movement, I never remember celebrating Varaha's appearance day. Maybe we did, I can't remember. Maybe because I don't remember the fast days as well. We never celebrated Matsya's appearance day or Korma's appearance day. So why exactly do we celebrate Varaha's appearance day? Does anyone know? I don't know either. Anyhow, it's Srimad Bhagavatam is just quite interesting. Sometimes devotees think that Bhagavad Gita, it's so philosophical that how can I read that book more than once or twice? And Srimad Bhagavatam is much more interesting, but much less able, we can't, the capacity to understand Srimad Bhagavatam requires quite a bit of elevation in Krishna consciousness, because it's not a very simple book. And therefore, generally when we read it, we just pass over it and kind of tolerate it, many of the things that go on in the Bhagavatam. And one of the things is Varaha's appearance day. And it just so happens, I don't believe Srila Prabhupada ever gave a lecture on Varaha's appearance day. Not only that, I don't remember Prabhupada, maybe he did, but I don't remember him speaking on Varaha Dave. In any case, if we read Prabhupada's purports about Varaha Dave, we'll find out that he doesn't go so deeply into the details because it's very easy to disturb our Kali Yuga minds. Namely, because what it's talking about is so inconceivable to us because we've been trained up by Kali Yuga. I mean, we can't blame anyone except for ourselves to be here for Kali Yuga. But Kali Yuga means that every Kali Yuga, we automatically get a bunch of demons as leaders. And they automatically train everyone up to the lowest common denominator. So we become absolutely fools. And at the same time, the more foolish we become, then the more we believe we're advanced. As love and humility go together, so arrogance or ignorance and pride go together. So we've been trained up mainly due to the fact that of the sinful activities that go on in Kali Yuga, automatically the material nature responds by training us to perform more sinful activities and to be deeper and deeper into ignorance. And therefore, we don't find in newspapers any explanation of the eternality of the soul or a discussion about it on television or very rarely on the internet. Nor is there any discussion about Krishna, how the proof of God's existence. Very rarely do we hear anything about that. Certainly not in the mass media. And what to speak of when the controversies come up about even obvious things like the moon landing. That the moon landing was so much debunked in so many different ways. The lighting was off. This capsule landed on the moon. No dust was raised. This huge capsule weighing so many tons and tons when it lands on the moon. Not even one speck of dust is raised. But when the astronaut gets out and jumps onto the moon, all this dust flies up because the moon became so ecstatic. It finally got the lotus feet of the astronaut on its surface. And then the astronaut plants the flag on the moon, and the flag starts waving out of ecstasy. although there's no wind because there's no atmosphere, still simply purely out of ecstasy, the flag starts waving. And we can go on and on and on that they have a camera fixed on their abdomen. He can't see the pictures he's taking. He takes 20,000 pictures and they're all perfect. And then, now if you ask, can we see the original pictures? They say, no, we lost all of them, all 20,000 of them. And what about the moon rocks? Well, they analyzed the moon rock. Someone got some moon rock and they analyzed it. And it's the same rocks that you find in the Arizona desert. But the Arizona deserts are very, the rocks there are quite cheap. But the moon rocks cost around $40 billion. Anyhow, that's just one of the things. There are so many other things that are inconceivable that many people accept. That a building 100 floors high could suddenly collapse in 5 seconds. Because a little tiny plane hit it and it suddenly just collapsed. It wasn't expecting the plane, so it fainted. And it just collapsed in its footprints. And we're supposed to believe, oh yes, this is the first time in history that three buildings like that, one after another, just collapse. And people are afraid sometimes not to believe these things because the whole worldview that we've been trained up since we were born, it actually upsets the worldview. And everyone feels like they want to be in balance. Everyone wants to feel that they're safe, that every time they take a step, the earth is not going to cave in because they learn from their authorities that if you take a step, the earth will hold you up. So when they hear these things, the authorities seem to be not telling us the absolute truth, we get a little nervous and our whole worldview is shaken. And you might even become a Hare Krishna eventually. But even as a Hare Krishna, we have 1 foot in the worldview of the materialist and 1 foot in the worldview of the spiritualist. And therefore there are many things which are just inconceivable to us. So how did Srila Prabhupada handle it? He handled it very carefully. Sometimes he said things that might disturb us, but as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, he wasn't worrying about saying things that would disturb the materialists because they don't read the books anyhow. And even if they read the books, they don't really understand what's going on, so they don't really take it seriously. They think it's a bunch of crazy people writing, you know. Srila Vyasadeva was sitting there in the Himalayas, getting bored, having nothing to do. He saw some plants around and he tried to experiment. And then he got so many ideas come to his head and started to write them down. And then we got the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what people think. That's what some devotees think too. And therefore their parts are just, we just kind of gloss over, which is all right. And Prabhupada did that also in some respects because it's not really that important for our development of spiritual life to understand all the details. And as a matter of fact, Sukadeva Goswami, when he's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, many of these pastimes, generally he never went into the details. For instance, how many of us know that Rahadev is a Leela avatar and therefore he comes periodically? And therefore, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we're reading an amalgamation of two Varahas. The white Varaha that appeared in Swayambhuva Manu and the red Varaha that appeared in Chakshusha Manu. And Sukadeva Goswami, he only had 7 days, and he had a lot to talk about, so he amalgamated them together and he talked about one pastime, the lifting of the earth and the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha. But there were two different Varahas that did these two different things. The first one was at the beginning of the creation, at least this creation, in the Swayambhuva Manu, and he didn't pick up this little ball called the earth that we think is the earth. Actually, the fact is, in one sense, we don't emphasize it too much, but in another sense, that just logically speaking, we're not living on a round planet called the earth, just a little ball floating in space. Does anyone feel like they're floating in space right now? Because some people, sometimes we are. We do get a little spaced out. But how many feel that we're moving at, what do they say? We're moving around the sun at 26,000 miles a second. Does anyone feel like they're doing that? And that the solar system, I mean, some fantastic numbers they just throw out. And even if it was true, how is it possible that something could be moving so fast and we don't feel anything? Then that's even proof, you can use that as proof of God, that there's a God that can create such a thing, that can fly through space at such a fantastic speed, as they say, and we don't even feel even the slightest bump. You ever get up in the morning, what's going on? Don't worry, it'll calm down. You know, Earth just hit a little bump on the way through space. And the other thing is, they make a mockery out of the fact that when I go to Australia, supposedly the Earth were on the top and they're on the bottom. The question is, why don't they fall off? They say something like gravity, you know, but if it was gravity, why would they stick? I can't move. I'm on the wrong side of the earth. I'm stuck. It sounds ludicrous, but, you know, they have to come up with some wild explanation. You're moving so fast through space, and your feet are stuck on the earth. Why don't all the blood rush to your head? People, they do yoga poses. Try to stand on the head. They can do it for half an hour, they get a prize. Well, why not just fly to Australia? You can do it for the rest of your life. Stand on your head. And not even feel the blood going to your head. Anyhow, there's many things that we'd have to wonder about. Of course, that's not our aim of the Hare Krishna movement, is to disprove all these ideas that come up that make no sense and that require wild explanations. But anyhow, we've gotten used to these wild explanations and we've kind of like found some mental equilibrium in the midst of all this confusing information we have, and I'm not here to disturb it either. Too much. But the fact is, if we have to accept Varaha, that out of the Lord Brahma was contemplating, that he saw that the earth, and we can be, Prabhupada doesn't contradict so much, you know, this little ball floating in space, called the earth, with these continents, fell into the Garbhodak ocean. And Brahma was contemplating how to get it out. So while he was contemplating that, a little boar appeared from his nostril. Now, if that's not inconceivable, what is? When's the next time you sneezed and a boar came out? So if you can believe that there's a four-headed man sitting on a lotus flower, and from he's thinking what to do, and from his nostril comes a boar, and then the boar expands himself into so many yojanas, thousands of yojanas, half the size of the universe, to pick up the earth, a little tiny ball. There's a little tiny speck we're supposed to be on. Then, you know, therefore we read through the third canto and we think, well, let me get to the tenth canto, maybe something more stable, more believable is there in the tenth canto. Therefore, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, even from the very beginning. I mean, the first time I heard a Srimad Bhagavatam class, 1968, I was already chanting Hare Krishna, but I came to my first class at the temple, and it was the first canto, because that's all they had, was the first canto at that time, Prabhupada's original Srimad Bhagavatams. And the first thing I heard was Asvatthama was throwing a brahmastra at Arjuna. And the whole universe was about to explode. And I think, well, it didn't bother me at all, because nothing bothered me at that point. I couldn't understand what was going on. So if that's not inconceivable, and not only that, but Oppenheimer, who supposedly created the first atomic weapon, he cited that from the Bhagavatam. When he saw the atomic explosion, then he cited the nuclear bomb that went off when Asvatthama threw the brahmastra at Arjuna, and Arjuna counteracted it with another brahmastra weapon. In any case, it's all inconceivable. I mean, how many of us have seen a brahmastra weapon lately? You open your door and the brahmastra weapon explodes, and you say, oh, now I got faith. And then Arjuna was during the battle of Kurukshetra. Even we like to read the Mahabharata, it's all just like science fiction is just like nothing compared to our literature. And yet we were able to remain somewhat, integrate both of them within our minds. The worldview of the scientists, that we're walking on a round earth. And at the same time, you know, the medical industry and everything else we've been trained up to believe. We have some faith, you know, they can save us. They're wonderful. The ambulance will come and protect us. Whatever, you know, so many different things we've been trained up to believe. And we got to integrate the whole thing. And that's why the devotees are more mentally unstable than most karmis. Because most people are not trying to practice devotional service. For them, there's no problem. They just believe whatever they read in the newspaper, somewhat. I mean, there are people who kind of, they also have problems. But many people just believe what they hear on television, what their authorities say, to some degree or another. They know they're a bunch of crooks, but they just can't believe they could be that crooked, they could be that evil, they can be this, that they would just lie. And even if they do lie, at least we're all part of the lie, because we're also doing the same nonsense that the politicians are doing, so we get along with each other. Well, as Prabhupada said, that they believe that if they elect President Nixon, he's going to actually save them. Like nowadays, they're having elections all around the world, and you have a real evil person here. Everyone knows he's like mentally unstable. He can't even remember what his name is. And he's the leader of the free world. And then you have another person who's obviously not that much better, but he's a little bit better. So you think, let's choose him. You know, do you want to get electrocuted or do you want to get hung? Well, I'd rather be hung. Do you want them to pick your left pocket or your right pocket? Therefore, the alternative is to actually chant Hare Krishna, because to get into an argument whether or not the earth is round or it's flat or about medical issues or whatever else can just sink one down to the place where the earth was fallen into, that Brahma had to get out. It's kind of like analogy. In Kali Yuga, Everyone has said, "Be fallen." And at the beginning of the earth, the creation, our whole earth that we're on was fallen. So fallen seems to be a motif in this material world. Either you're a person in Kali Yuga and you fall into Maya, or you're a whole part of the universe and you fall down too. Someone has to pick you up. In any case, one thing is that the expertise of Srila Prabhupada in his preaching and his presentation is that he didn't try to make a big thing out of all these controversies. Although the only thing he really got into that if we read his books and his conversations was going to the moon planet, that they went to the moon planet. Why? Because according to them, they went to the moon planet, it was all dust. And according to the Bhagavatam, it's a heavenly planet. So either it's just dust or it's a heavenly planet. It can't be both. Or maybe it is both. Probably even try to make it both. He said maybe they went to the moon planet, but they didn't see the people. They weren't qualified to see the people there. Sometimes he said they went to Rahu. Sometimes he said they went to the Arizona desert. He said so many different things. According to, you know, in other words, Prabhupada didn't want to disturb people's minds so much. But we want to disturb them a little bit. That's why we wear dhotis and saris and things like that. Because we do want to shake them up a little bit. That's why we go out and chant Hare Krishna. We don't sing lullabies or even Christmas carols. We still keep on chanting Hare Krishna. And of course, most people think we're just nice, crazy people. There's bad, crazy people on this earth, and there's nice, crazy people. So they think we're part of the nice, crazy people. So that's good. But we should keep in mind that when we read these books and these pastimes, we don't have to blindly accept them. And we don't have to blindly reject them. It's not our process. Maybe if we were jnanis, we were trying to understand things philosophically, we go deeper and deeper into the unlimited Puranas and the different literatures that deal with these things. And maybe eventually we'll get a little faith that these things could be real. But without bhakti, none of these things make any sense whatsoever. Because we're on a platform of material conditioned experience, and our whole experience is determined by the modes of material nature that we're under. And in Kali Yuga, we don't start out usually in the mode of ignorance, and hardly anyone nowadays is even very much in the mode of passion. We're mostly in the mode of ignorance. And therefore, our worldview is so much different from the Bhagavatam. It's probably easier to identify with the demons than it is with the devotees sometimes. And even they write books about, they have sympathy for Karna, for instance. Some books make Karna out to be a hero. Although there's some heroic aspects of Karna in the Mahabharata, but still, he's not really the main hero of the Mahabharata. Therefore, we have to not blindly accept and we don't have to blindly reject, but we have to understand what is the process by which we can actually realize what this is all about, what's actually going on. How not to get affected by this craziness that's going on. Although we should understand from the practical point of view that there are certain things that the only solution, for instance, is Krishna consciousness. That we have to become convinced of. Otherwise, we'll hope that maybe if this person gets elected, maybe they'll save us. Maybe they're really good people and they have a plan to save the earth and to make everything right. Right, they're killing cows, they're killing animals, they're killing the children. They have no idea about what's the cause behind the problems in the world, and they're going to save us. They can't even save themselves. So to think that there's going to be some change in this world outside of Krishna consciousness, it's just illusion. Yes, there'll be change, just like there's climate change. Every day there's a climate change. The weather goes up, it goes down. And it's going to get, every day everything gets worse according to the Bhagavatam. If we believe the Bhagavatam, it's going to get much worse. And the only solution, the only hope, is the devotees go out and chant Hare Krishna. They distribute books. They tell their friends about Krishna. That's the only hope. They get together with their family in the morning and maybe and hopefully in the evening too. And they chant Hare Krishna together. That's the only way anything's going to change for the positive. Otherwise, to trust the demons that they're going to become devotees, forget it. If he gets elected, then the goddess of fortune will come and benedict him. He'll actually become a devotee. He'll start chanting. It doesn't work like that. The only hope is the Hare Krishna movement, and the only hope is our chanting Hare Krishna. Reading the books, of course, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, but the end result in the Kali Yuga is chanting the holy name, offenselessly. And the only way we can chant offenselessly if we understand and realize our fallen condition. And then we can actually, and not only fallen condition, but the only way you can realize our fallen condition is to realize how wonderful a non-fallen condition is. Unless we experience something of what it's like not to be fallen, we can't understand that we're fallen. If we look around and we see everyone else, we're doing pretty good compared to everyone else. But that doesn't mean we're doing pretty good compared to actually people who are actually doing good. Therefore, we have to chant Hare Krishna and try to understand the philosophy at the same time, how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful devotional service is, how wonderful it is to even try to act as a devotee, called sadhana bhakti, bhajana kriya. How wonderful that is, what a great opportunity it is to even try to act like a devotee, because then Krishna will actually give us his blessings so that we actually become a devotee gradually. We actually get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we actually experience what it would be like to be a devotee. And that inspires to actually work more and more as to become a devotee. And then we can understand gradually, compared to the pure love and ecstasy that goes on in the spiritual world, you know, comparison to us, we're quite fallen. As a matter of fact, as one enters into the spiritual consciousness, one actually feels oneself fallen out of love. Because one sees how wonderful and beautiful everyone and everything is. So out of love, one feels oneself insignificant. And Krishna and Srimati Radharani, who has the most love, the most ecstasy, they feel themselves the most fallen out of everyone. The humblest personality is Srimati Radharani. Because she thinks everyone is wonderful and compared to her. Because she's so much in love with everyone, she's feeling so much happiness in everyone's association, she feels everyone is elevated compared to her. And we're being taught to, as Queen Kunti said, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shibir Edamanak Madakpaman Naivahatya Vidatum Vai Twam Akinshana Gochara. We're being taught that success is become more, do things that will make you more proud. Get more money. If you have money, then you can be proud. You can control the material universe. You can get whatever you want. You can enjoy as much sense gratification you want. You can actually become happy and secure and happy if you get money. And we're being taught, if you get learning, material learning, you get degrees in front of you, then people will listen to you. Who are you? I'm PhD so-and-so, I have my MA, I have 3 PhDs, and I'm an MD, and I have so many titles before, after my name, that it takes people a half an hour to say all the credits I deserve. And if you ask them, who are you? They don't know. So many years of education, and they can't figure out who they are. But they're learned, and they're worthy to be listened to, because they have all these titles after their name. And if you can look like you're 20 when you're 90, then you've made it. And when they bury you, you look like you're even 15 years old. They can decorate you even more. So Queen Kunti says, anyone who's interested in these things, personal beauty, influence, wealth, material education, they can't chant Hare Krishna with feeling because they're proud. They think this body is wonderful and things in relation to the body are wonderful, and they just want to make it more wonderful. And therefore, they don't feel that they have to chanting Hare Krishna and going through the process of understanding who they are and who Krishna is. It's not within their agenda. It's not part of their agenda. Their agenda is to rule the material universe, to make some progress in that direction, and enjoy as much sense gratification as possible, which is the aim of ruling the universe. Therefore, people are going in the wrong direction. Andayata inatevidu swarthikatim hi Vishnu darashaya ye bahir artamanina. That they don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, because they don't know who Krishna is or how wonderful Krishna is. Instead, darashaya ye bahir amanina artamanina. They think something completely which is insignificant, they think is wonderful. As I said the other day, that they had, well, if you go on the internet and you type something in, immediately they start giving you suggestions, you know, what to look at. And all these suggestions, they're all completely, usually insignificant things about someone who can hit the ball over the net with a racket. And he spent his whole life learning how to do it. And he can do it better than anyone else. And there's a big competition who can hit the ball over the net and not go out of boundaries or hit the net. And everyone's watching, focusing their mind, giving their complete attention. All their enthusiasm is all manifested when the ball goes over the net. Wow, look at that. Could you believe it? The ball went over the net so fast. And went back, my God. And they spend their, you know, a good part of their existence. Wow, look at that. So they can't sleep at night because they're going. They're tossing their pillow back and forth. And that's only one insignificant. So many different things are being fed to us. So many different persons are being presented to us as leaders. And they have no idea what the goal of life is or how to achieve it. What they're doing is they're going to the darkest regions of existence, and they're inviting all of us to go along with them for its completely insignificant things. Therefore, at least if we read the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at least it'll expand our possibilities a little bit more than we're just like some rock floating in nothingness in space that came out of nothing. I mean, it's ludicrous, the whole conception that at the beginning there was nothing and nothing didn't have anything to do. So I decided to become something. Maybe Mother Nothing came and kind of encouraged him. My dear son, all our nothing neighbors are criticizing you because you never became anything. So getting angry, nothing suddenly became something. And according to the scientists, all you can do is become a little bit of gas. But it wasn't ordinary gas, because when it exploded, it flew everywhere. And then Mother Nothing said, settle down, and here we are now. And this is what you get your PhD from. You win a Nobel Prize for it. And everyone's supposed to accept it if you're a loyal, brave, honest citizen, then you must accept all this. So, the purport is, the third candle at least expands our awareness that in the beginning there was not just nothing. In the beginning there was actually personalities who were ruling the universe and creating it and managing it in different ways. Even Bhumi appears, for instance, in the 10th canto, Bhumi appears. Bhumi, the earth planet, which was supposed to be picked up by Varaha, she appears as a cow, in the form of a cow. So that means she's a personality, and she took the form of a cow and approached Lord Brahma to complain about the demons who were covering her surface and disturbing her. Now Bhumi also appears in another place. Many places Bhumi appears. Does anyone know who Bhumi's son was? Who? Who? Bhamasura. Bhamasura. Yeah, Bhamasura. Maybe she had more than one child, I don't know. Anyhow, how did she get pregnant?
Touch.
What's that?
By touch.
Whose touch? Yes, yeah, somehow or another by his touch. I don't know how it happened, but she became pregnant. So she's a personality. The earth that we're on is actually, there's a personification at least of the earth. And she's conscious of what goes on in the earth. Not only this little insignificant place that we're inhabiting, but even we find, for instance, Pariksha Maharaj, when he was cursed to die in 7 days, he sat down on the bank of the Ganges, and all the sages from all parts of the universe came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. So if we're going to accept that this Bhagavatam that we're reading from, if we're going to accept it, then we also accept that there are different parts, there's personalities from different parts of the universe, and then that little green people with these weird heads that fly around in space and saucers. You know, they just make a mockery out of the whole thing, modern society. So anyone who says the sages came from all parts of the universe, do you think a little green people with whatever else? No, these were the most intelligent people in the universe, came, and they heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto begins with Bhumi. And she has many different pastimes. And Bhumi is not just, you know, Bhumandala, according to our acharyas, is the whole Bhumandala, Jambu Dweep, Plaksha Dweep, Samanta Dweep, all these different dweepas. And it's huge. But anyhow, it gives us a much broader understanding. After all, this is just supposed to be the one universe and a bag of mustard seeds. So many universes. This is probably not the thing we think about during the day. I'm just in a little mustard seed universe. But anyhow, at least in the background of our minds, when we chant Hare Krishna and get some experience through pure chanting of the holy name, then these things kind of like become a little bit more believable. when I first joined the movement, I was walking along one day, my whole life changed. Without drugs, by the way, otherwise. In those days, people's lives changed by drugs, too. But without any drugs, I hadn't taken any drugs. I never even smoked one puff of a cigarette in my life. But it just completely changed. So then I realized that there's something more going on than when I was learning at the university, because they never taught me anything like that at the university. So then when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, actually I forgot what was the point I was going to make, that in any case, the purport is we should try to chant Hare Krishna, try to get some experience in the chanting, things that we can actually do personally. We can do service to the deities, we can do service in the movement, we can have the nine different processes. And by experiencing something about Krishna, experiencing the holy name, the effects of the holy name, then the result is that our faith in everything else will develop. Because it's nothing that we're taught about. Only the holy name has the potency to actually change our consciousness and to actually bring us to a platform where, you know, our understanding of the universe, we're in awe. When we look at the sun, we don't just think, oh, there's another ball of fire just floating in the sky. We realize how wonderful Krishna is, that he's actually put this huge ball of fire floating in the air so we can get the amount of heat and light that we need to survive. So that our life becomes full of awe and reverence and joy, rather than just this dull, you know, everything is normal, dull, and to get a little entertainment we have to go and see Avatar. Because it's what people go and see it, and because everything's light up and it looks like, you know, it's interesting, people are flying around, that's what they want to be. They want to live in their imagination. And then when the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, they say, why are you escaping? But they're taking drugs, they're taking intoxication, they're going to the movies, they're watching sports, just to escape the boredom that comes from materialistic, atheistic philosophy. So we should go on chanting, we should try to read Prabhupada's books, we should have programs in our houses, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we should serve the devotees, we should understand how to live life in Krishna consciousness, and then not only the books will become real, but this experience we're having right now will become a real experience, a real spiritual experience. And our life will actually have some meaning. And we won't get dragged down to this depression and anxiety and fear that's being offered by those who don't have Krishna consciousness, who are so-called leaders, but they're simply being misled themselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Someone has...
Thank you for the very interesting lecture. I want to read it in that part when you say the only hope is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So it was 2017. I want to confirm your words, because 2017, when I was in coma, Prabhupada came to me, and in conversation I asked him, what can we do the best for these people, for the devotees, for planet? And he said, until you will chant and sing Hare Krishna, those demons cannot prevail totally. They have advantage, but they will not prevail totally until this mantra will circle around planets. So this is very true what you said. And then when I ask, what can I do for devotees the best to change their people? He said, don't preach anything because they cannot listen to you. They are disturbed too much. They cannot listen to me, even me. So just give example. That is the best you can do.
Good. We can also talk amongst and make people devotees. There's some aspect that people can understand, but we have to become intelligent enough to know how to introduce people to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a way that they can understand. We should also understand our own limitations, because there's many things we don't understand. So to a new person who doesn't understand these things, if we don't understand it, we're not going to be able to explain it to them either. But we can understand to some extent we're not this body, for instance. We hear it often enough, and we can introduce people to that also. Or even a lifestyle, if we ever develop a lifestyle where we're actually simple living and high thinking, then people will become more impressed with us. Those intelligent people who are, you know, have still some intelligence. But as far as our movement here in Slovenia, we only have some limited success in even following our own philosophy. Therefore, we should be humble. But whatever we do follow, you know, it certainly changed our lives. It certainly enlightened us. I mean, could you imagine living in a life where you didn't know that after this body you're eternal? That you're not going to die? How much anxiety people are in, worrying about death or death of their beloved ones. But if they understand even the little philosophy that we can understand, so much alleviation from anxiety and fear is there. So that we can give to people. We do have, according to whatever we've understood and realized, we have so much to give to people to help them. But we shouldn't overestimate ourselves that we're going to save everyone just by without doing some serious work ourselves. Anything else? Hvala, Grantara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Lord Braha, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Haribol.